Yeah, so if an amen hits you in the middle of a message, just shout it out, right? Amen, yeah. Just don't be afraid. Amens are welcome, and some yeah is welcome. We can do all that too. We don't have to be all King Jamesy here. So you can welcome a yeah, an all right, a come on, a yup. We'll take some yups. Yep. We'll take all that. It's powerful because it's confirmation of our heart, and sometimes my heart needs to hear me say yup. Isn't that true? Sometimes I need to hear me say yes and amen. And people in the room need us to hear that too. Need to hear that too. It's powerful. You know, when I was in second grade and I had an interest in art. You might not know, but my actual college degree is in art. I was midway through my college years when I was called into ministry, and I'd studied architecture and art. And so I got that degree from DBU and went on to study more biblical studies after that. But I have a real love for art. And so from time to time, I'll get my paints out at home and paint. And I've done colored pencil over the years, pencil, paint, oil paint, watercolor. When I do, paint is my medium, right? It's what I use to express and to create. I'll do it on canvas or on paper, but the medium I use is paint to create. Now, Heather's gift is cooking, so her medium is food. And I am grateful. Yeah? You know, whatever your talent is, you have a medium that you use. If you are a builder, your medium are wood and metal, nails and screws. But there is a medium that God uses to change us, to create life even. And it's not necessarily just his hands. The medium that God uses to change hearts are spoken words. Words that are spoken have power. Power to create life, to give life. When God spoke in the opening verses of Scripture, he spoke and creation happened. All he did was speak. He didn't use his hands. He didn't just imagine it. He spoke it. And when God wanted to give purpose even to Adam and Eve, to give them direction for their life, he didn't just by osmosis give it to them. The Bible says that God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. He gave life by spoken word. He spoke it and it created life. Now, he hasn't changed. He still does that. His medium are words, and he speaks, and those words have power. Those words have meant something to you. That's why you're here, because at some point God has spoken to you. You heard it as you read the scriptures. You heard it as you prayed, and God spoke, and it brought life to you. The first time someone told me that my guilt could be removed because of a word from Scripture, from God, I believed that and received that, and life came alive in me because of a word spoken to me. And words are powerful. Words have the power to bring the presence and power of God right into a situation. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a situation where I have needed that, and Heather or someone has prayed for me, and those words, they became life to me. All of a sudden, hope sprang up. Desire came alive. Words have that kind of power to bring and give life. Words have power to even chase away fear, anxiety, depression. Those words, when they are from God's word, bring life. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, to which we all know today. And we can, if you've walked in this, you can say, I know, I've been there. Amen? Right? And but that's not the end of the verse. Aren't you glad that's not the end of the verse? Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. A word from heaven has the power to explode life into that situation and chase away anxiety and depression. Words have power. And when God speaks, there is power and there is life. Today, our message is part of our series, Real Family Matters, is called The Power of Spoken Blessing. We've spent some time talking about kind of all the ugly side sometimes of family. We've talked about dysfunction. We've talked about toxic families. But we got to get on over into what healthy, Jesus-following, faith-believing families do. Amen? I mean, some of that talk we've been through on dysfunction and toxic families is tough. Necessary, but tough. But it's time to see what God says about what healthy families do, what functioning families do, what Jesus-following families do. And one of the things that they do is they know how to use their words to speak life into their home, into their relationships. They know how to speak blessing because words have the power. They have the power to heal wounds. They have the power to bring peace into a situation. They have power to remove burdens that we've carried. They have power to give hope. And they have power to change a person's future when we know how to speak words of blessing. Now, you think about this word bless or blessing. I tried to come up with a short definition I think we could all use today and work through and keep in our mind. So here we go. Blessing is speaking favor, worth, love, and future good. I mean, there's so many words and definitions in Scripture you could find, Old Testament, New Testament. But I think this, in short, gives us this idea that speaking words of blessing, when we do that, they speak favor to someone. They speak worth to someone. They speak love, and they speak of future good. In other words, they motivate us, and they inspire us, and they help us see a promise from God for the future, right? They give us the desire to chase after him and to move on, to have hope. And when God wanted to give all of that to any part of his creation, he spoke to it. For example, in Genesis, before he spoke to Adam and Eve, he actually, the Bible says he spoke to the sea creatures. In Genesis 1:22, it says that, listen, God blessed them saying, he blessed them saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. When God wanted to impart vision and life and future and hope and worth, he spoke, and he spoke blessing. In Genesis 1:28, it does say that God spoke to Adam and Eve, and he said, the scriptures say that God blessed them and God said to them. This is a theme today. When God is going to bless, it always starts with speaking words. This is going to be tough for us today because you and I normally think of the blessings of God being things like material possessions. Oh, wow, God has really blessed them. They were able to get a new car. True. Wow, God blessed them. He got a new job. True. God blessed her. She got this raise at work. true. Those are all blessings. But I want to encourage us today for just a moment to think in terms of Scripture and the times that God gives blessings, that they always start with spoken words. Okay? That's important. It's going to be a shift for us. Even when God spoke to Noah after the flood, it said, God blessed Noah in Genesis 9:1. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, blessing and spoken words always go together. He said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Whenever God wants to give direction, hope, vision, worth, love, he speaks. It's interesting in the New Testament, if you look at the word bless or blessing, you find the Greek word eulogio. Now, it's a word that we're familiar with in our day. It's the same word we get our word eulogy from. At a funeral, when someone stands up and speaks about a person's life and appreciation, admiration for their life, we call that the eulogy. In the New Testament, this word is a word that means blessing, to bless someone, but not waiting until the day they've already died, but speaking blessing into their life. In the Old Testament, it's fascinating. It's the same idea to speak life and favor and hope and worth, but the actual definition in the Old Testament for blessing is the word that means to kneel. To kneel down, to give honor and worship and love and worth and adoration. I think we can all grasp that concept. If we're going to bless God, then kneeling is a right posture. Amen? It puts us in a posture of, I am less than you. You are greater than me, less than, greater than, right? It's putting myself in a position low, recognizing position. And this is what we do when we bless someone. So today, we're going to talk about three ways that we can bring spoken blessing into our homes so that our families become a place where there is truly a language of blessing that happens. So the first of these today, bringing a blessing into your home, is when you bless God. This is an important thing to do in your home, for you and I to be blessing God in our homes. Now, it's not because God needs an ego boost. It's not because God had a rough day and he needs some real affirmation. That's not it. It's not because he got his feelings hurt yesterday and you need to really build him up. That's not what's happening. God doesn't need to be blessed for his benefit. When we bless God, it's more for our benefit. Because when I speak blessing about God, when I speak of my love for him, my adoration for him, I give him worth and value. When I say those words out loud, it changes the atmosphere. It changes the atmosphere in me. Because if I go around all day and I'm like, oh man, I'm having such a terrible day. Man, nothing's going my way. Everyone's against me. I can't believe that's happening. Man, did you see what that guy did? That's terrible. Nothing goes right for me ever. Guess what the rest of my day is going to be just like? That. But if I say, God, you are working all things together for good because you promised that in my life. God, I know you love me. You are for me. You are with me. You are in me, you are beside me, you are behind me, you go before me. Guess what the rest of my day is going to be like? I just changed the atmosphere by the words that I spoke. You change the atmosphere around you when you bless God, when you speak of his worth, when you speak of his power, when you remind yourself of he's been good to you, when you remind yourself he's going to keep being good to you. Amen? Psalm 103, you could pretty much write this down and look this up later. It's an entire chapter where David is just going to town on blessing God. Psalm 103, it starts off, I'm just going to read the first two verses. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. And then the rest of the Psalm 103 is about all of the ways that God has blessed us. But you get that when you start blessing God. And the thing is, blessing is always spoken. It's not ever just kept inside. You can't just ever have a thought and think, nice thoughts. How would you like it if your spouse never told you how they felt about you, how much they loved you, but they felt it deeply inside? She said, not going to have a spouse. Now, I know, you ladies, you're saying, that's pretty much the way it is in my house anyway. Because us guys, sometimes we say, well, I mean, I love you, honey. I mean, I just don't ever say it, but I do love you. Blessing has to come out of your mouth. It can't just stay in your heart. When God wanted to create, he didn't just have a good feeling about how things were going to turn out. He spoke blessing. He spoke and life was created. When you speak out loud, you change the atmosphere in you. When you say it out loud and you bless God, you change the atmosphere of those around you. I was at Walmart the other day, Heather and I were, and I'm pushing a cart, Heather's getting stuff, and I look, and there's a lady, and she's needing something up off the top shelf, and she is not, or well, she's height challenged, I'll just say that, so I knew she, and I looked, and she was looking at that shelf like, here I go, and I was like, whoa, let me just get that for you, and she was very surprised. And I, you know, reached, gave it to her. And she said, oh, thank you so much. And I'm thinking, okay, what can I say? I got about a microsecond here of something to say to try to bring the Lord into this moment. So I just said to her, I said, well, that's okay. I said, the Lord arranged this moment for you to be there and me to be here at the same time. And she turned and her face lit up and she said, you are exactly right. Thank you so much. You change the moment. You change the atmosphere in a space when you bless God in that space. It happens right here. There's power when we all gather together and you start hearing stories. Anna Marie's story this morning. Side note, Anna Marie and I were at George Peabody Elementary in second grade in Oak Cliff way back in the day. This whole story there. Her words, the words of the singers, and the words of everyone in the room opening their mouth and singing, we changed the atmosphere in this place. Was the Lord here when you got here? Yes. But when we all got together and opened our mouth, the atmosphere changed all of a sudden. There was a greater awareness that God is in this place. And so when we bless God, we change the atmosphere. We change the atmosphere in us. We change the atmosphere in this room. And you change the atmosphere in your home. When you choose to out loud bless God in your home, you will change the atmosphere. And this is true no matter what your status is. If you're single, you can change the atmosphere in your place by speaking blessings of God in your place. When you're out with friends, you can speak blessings of God and change the atmosphere in that place. If you're married, you can change the atmosphere in your marriage by speaking the blessing of God out loud. Husbands, you want to see your wife's heart settle? Then you speak the blessings of God out loud and watch her heart settle. Ladies, you want to see your husband's heart come alive? Then you start speaking the blessings of God in your house. And you will bring the presence of God into your home because you change the atmosphere when you choose to out loud bless God. You are actively creating joy in your home. You are the creator because your words are your medium and God blesses that. Now, the second way that you can bring blessing into your home is by you choosing to bless others. To use your words to speak favor, to speak worth, to speak love, and future good. Because all of our words have weight. And here's the thing I've learned over the past couple of years. I always thought that words were words were words were words, and they all have power. But it's not true. Words spoken by certain people have more power than spoken by other people. Some words weigh more depending upon who's saying them, right? So, like, for example, if somebody I don't even know, someone who I never will come in contact with most likely in this life, if they have something critical to say about me, I'm like, yeah, sorry you feel that way. Kinda. I don't know who you are. It doesn't weigh anything to me. But if someone I know, someone close to me, in fact, the closer they are to me, if they have something that they say to me and it hurts different when it comes from someone close, right? And the same works with praise. Someone far removed, disconnected, can say a word, a compliment to me. But when someone close, someone in my family, someone who knows me, speaks a word of praise to me, it's 4th of July in my heart. Amen? We all know this. Words have power. And so, parents, that's why it's so important for us to be choosing and careful of the words that we speak and when we speak them and how we say them. Because your tone and your words weigh more than anybody else's words to your kids. And if you have a tone of condemnation, rejection, and anger all the time, it will weigh on your children differently than anybody else. And the same is true about words of praise. Your kids want to hear you tell them of their worth, value, love, hope for the future, and how God has blessed them. There's power when we bless other people. The closer the relationship, the weightier the words. There's a story in the Old Testament. In fact, based on the song we sang this morning, The Blessing, that song comes from Numbers chapter 6. What's happened in Numbers 6 is they've just built the tabernacle. And the people have all sacrificed and they've worked. And the high priest is given instructions about what he is to say in the next moment. Here's what the scripture says in Numbers 6. It says that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron," who was the high priest, "and his sons, saying, 'This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel.'" Because you are the high priest, your words weigh more. And so I want you to say this to them. And here's what he said. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance, his face upon you and give you peace." It's one thing to hear someone else say that. It was quite another to have the high priest say it to them. It's true. The depth of relationship and the greater the position you have in a person's life, those words weigh more. And so we should recognize that in our homes and our families and use words that actually bless others, that give them hope and love and honor and value. Now, I don't mean just walk around saying, "I bless you, my child. I bless you." I've known some dads who said to their kids, "I bless you, my children." But in the remainder of their day, were angry, critical, loud, judgmental. Do you think those words meant anything when they said, "I bless you"? No. Because bless is not just a word. It is a way we speak. And so when I bless other people, my desire is to help them know how deeply they're loved, how deeply God loves them, and the weight of his words to them. It can't be silent. It can't just be a good thought. It can't just be a text you send every once in a while. There needs to be a spoken, word of blessing that comes from one person to another. So I thought, let's talk about some examples. What does that look like? How do I tangibly and practically do that? So here's some ways that you can speak blessing to others. You can talk to someone else and say, here is how much God loves you. I want to tell you how much God loves you. When you remind a person of that, you are speaking blessing to them. When you say to someone else, did you know that God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you? Did you know that God loves you so much that he is arranging every event of your life for your good? Did you know that God loves you so much that he will never leave you or forsake you? Those are all ways that you speak blessing into someone. When you say to someone, here is where I have seen God work in your life. Ah, that's important. There's been times in my life where I've wondered, okay, God, I can't see you anywhere anymore. Where are you? And I had to call on friends and family, and they would do this. Well, here's where I've seen God work in your life. And they would tell me tangible ways. He opened this door for you. He provided for you here. He put you in this situation, and it was just speaking life and blessing to me. When you say to someone, here is what God wants to do in you. Do you know that God is wanting to conform you to the image of Christ? God is wanting to free you from all the shackles of fear and anxiety. God is wanting to show you his power and his purpose for your life. Those are all ways of speaking blessing. And these are not just things that pastors do. These ought to be the norm in our homes. That's an amen moment right there. Amen, yeah. If I want to bless someone, then I will say to them, here is what I know God has promised you. When you start speaking from Scripture and telling them, here are God's promises for you, you are blessing them. When you say to someone, here is what you have done well, that is a way of giving blessing to them, speaking life to them. When you say to someone, here is how much I love and value you, then you are speaking blessing. And it is our calling as believers for every one of us to do this. And the place that it has its greatest weight and value is inside our homes. And inside your home, the place that it has the absolute greatest weight and value is between a husband and wife. When they both know how to do this, then you are truly speaking life to one another. You are bringing blessing and the power of God and the presence of God into your own home. And this is far better than just sitting around complaining about how terrible life is, right? This is what God calls us to. Jesus would say that us being able to speak blessing should be so much the routine and rhythm of our life that even if someone curses us, Jesus would say, bless those who curse you. Whew. To where I know how to even say to the one who is against me and not for me, did you know that I am praying for you because God loves you. God has a purpose for your life. And he wants to settle your heart and he wants to give you peace. I can say that to someone. Even if they are totally against me, I can speak blessing to them. That's not flowery compliments. That is the truth from God's word. And this is what we are called to do in our lives. And you might think, look, I don't have any track record of that in my home. I get it. I did not grow up with this happening in my home. I don't have any frame of reference for this. But once I began to see it in Scripture, I began to say, I'm going to make this part of my home for my children. And Heather and I decided this is what we're going to do for our kids. Did we get it right? No. Were we perfect at it? No. So now we have another chance with the grandkids. And we are doing our best to do just this, to be a people who know how to speak blessing into the home, into the lives of those that we love. and beyond, those that are even enemies. And you might think, okay, that's just a whole lot. That's just, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine doing this in my home, much less doing it with an enemy, someone who's trying to curse me. How in the world can you do any of that? Well, that brings us to the third way to bring blessing into our home. We've talked about how we can bless God. We've talked about how we can bless others, but the third way is that God wants to bless you. In fact, He has blessed you. Now, this is where you're going to have to work again to subtract money, subtract possessions, subtract comfort, all of that. I'm not talking about that. Because what did we say? When God blesses, He uses the medium of words. So, well, how has God blessed me then? Well, when God wanted to speak from heaven to us, He sent His word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And when God wanted to express to us His blessing, He sent His living Word. And as many as received Him, John says, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. To those who believed in His name, to those who received that word, to those who received the word that Jesus has taken your sins and there is life in Him, to those who will receive that and believe that, life comes alive inside. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word gives life. But you have to be in a position to receive that word. It has to penetrate down into the depths of who you are. Because not until you can receive the word of heaven blessing you will you ever be able to turn around and bless someone else. But He has come to bless us, to give us by His words forgiveness, cleansing, acceptance, redemption, and purpose in this life. That's what He came for. But it requires absolute humility. Do you remember the word I told you earlier from the Old Testament? The word bless means to kneel down. It's interesting. I love doing this in Scripture. I have a program. If you're interested in this, come see me. I'll tell you about it. I have a program that shows me the original Hebrew words of the Old Testament. I'm not a Hebrew scholar by any means. But in this program, this computer program I have, it shows me the original Hebrew word. And so this word for bless is the word barak. And it means to speak favor, but it means also to kneel down. So that same word is used in Genesis 24 in a very unusual verse. It says in Genesis 24:11, and He made His camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. The camels blessed. They got down on their knees so that the women could get off and that the women could go get water. The camels knelt down. And you get this picture of blessing even in that word. It's the same Hebrew word. And it's the idea that I become a servant for someone else. I do what benefits them. I don't exist for myself, but I do what is necessary for another person. Are you with me? I'm being fairly repetitive here, but on purpose. Because I think we can all get the picture of, I want to bless God, so I'm on my knees. I want to bless the people in my life. If I want to bless my children, I'm going to get on my knees and where I can see them face to face and speak to them. I'm going to get on my knees with my grandkids and I'm going to play with them and speak blessing to them. I'm going to put myself in a servant position to be able to speak blessing to my wife and my children and their spouses, because I want my words to be a blessing. But what in the world is this word doing in reference to God blessing us and kneeling down? That just seems awkward, seems weird. I get it. But is that not what Jesus was doing when he knelt to wash the feet of the disciples? Did he not get on his knees to become a servant for them, to wash their feet, to bless them? And didn't Peter in the story say, no, you ain't gonna wash my feet. I ought to be the one washing your feet. And Jesus said, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, then you will have none of me. Jesus was saying, if you won't let me speak blessing to you, then how will you ever have the words to speak blessing to others? Let me have Austin come up here for just a minute. Let me try to picture this in another way. Austin, come on up over here. I'll let you get there. And Austin has no clue what he's doing. I just asked him if he'd be willing. So go ahead and get on your knees as well. Like down knees, not before me. That's not the point here. That's not the point. Yeah, no, facing me. All the way. Not before me, but stay there. Is this not the posture we often feel when we have blown it, when we've sinned, when we've messed up, when we recognize we have been an absolute sinner? Do you recognize this posture in your heart? Amen. Jesus does not show up ready to whack us over the head, ready to... What does Jesus do instead? He blesses us and he lifts us up and he speaks words of blessing to us. He says, I love you. I've chosen you. By my death, I've forgiven you. You are now cleansed from your sin. You are seated in heavenly places. You are accepted. You are redeemed. You are whole. No weapon formed against you will prosper. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm arranging every event in your life for your good. I am shaping you to become like me. And I'm doing this not just by the circumstances, but by the words that I speak to you. This is Jesus blessing us. And if you ever want to gain the strength and the power and the wisdom and the insight to know how to bless the people in your life, you got to get in this posture first and let Jesus bless you. It'll be the most awkward thing you've ever done. It'll feel uneasy. It'll feel so weird, but this is the posture you and I are meant to live in. This is where you were meant to stay, allowing Jesus to speak blessing to us. Because when we do, then we can shut out every voice that makes us want to live in anxiety and fear and angst and turmoil. This is the power of Jesus to bless us. Amen? Thank you, Austin. Give him a hand. Yeah, it's good. This is what we're invited to. And this is what makes our homes functional, blessed, is when we bring in the presence of God by our words. Let's pray together. Jesus, I know we're all tired of listening to the lies of the enemy. We're tired of our own racing thoughts. We're tired of the messages of the world. We're tired of our past plaguing us. And so today, bowed down, undone, we will hear you speaking life to us. We will hear you and your words that we don't deserve, that are humbling, telling us, I love you. I have given my blood to forgive you, to cleanse you. And by your faith, you are free. You are whole. Your sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. You are seated with me now in heavenly places. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In fact, no weapon formed against you will ever have the power to prosper. And I am reigning in your life, arranging every event. The ones that to you are good and the ones that to you seem evil, I am arranging all of that for your good. So Jesus, we hear you today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for blessing us with your words. And God, I'd ask that as we hear you and you fill us up, that that would spring out like a well overflowing in us. Words that turn and bless you and words that turn and bless the people closest to us. Open our mouths that we might be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.